Mishnah tells us that our sukkah needs walls, right? How many?
Three.
Three walls. But ultimately, the Gemara tells us that, well, three-ish. Right? Because what does the Gemara ultimately tell us about the third wall? It's in Vav and Midbeis. Right? Sorry? Tefach. Okay. So, you guys probably haven't bought your own houses so far. But when you're in the market, if the house you're looking at, they tell you that the walls are tefachs, I don't know how impressed you're going to be. And I don't know if you've spent any time in the construction market. Sorry? I'm sorry? I didn't hear that. But it sounded interesting. But is a tefach a wall by any definition? By this one, okay, possibly. Emphasis on possibly. Okay, but that's surprising, right? I mean, in a sense, it seems, is that saying the same thing as the Mishnah is saying? Is this a machlokas? I mean, the Mishnah says three walls. Doesn't have three walls, no good. And here, this brisa that the Gemara quotes here on Vav Mebeis, two are tefach. We'll negotiate. So, is that the same thing as saying three walls? So that's one question we have to try to figure out here, is what exactly is the nature of this tefach wall? Because on the surface, it seems like it's challenging to understand that as a wall by any normal definition. Now, if you got a chance to see the Gemara on Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, so you saw, okay, tefach sochik, big tefach, still not going to really necessarily impress anyone, who's going to keep away any invaders. But you see that there is a discussion in the Gemara in Dav Zayin Amud Aleph about the layout here. When we have two walls, do we have two walls that are connected to each other, so they form a corner? Or do we have two walls that basically form an alleyway, two walls that are opposite each other? And how does that affect things? And the Gemara has a discussion, really three possibilities, about whether this tefach works in conjunction with a tzuras ha-pesach. Right, so you're familiar, are any Erev checkers in the room? Anybody in the room involved in Erevin at all? It's not impossible. Some people get involved in the checking of their local Erevin. So you know that in an Erev we have a concept of a tzuras ha-pesach. Now, what does the Tzuras HaPesach literally mean? It means, the Pesach means an opening, so the Tzuras HaPesach, right, means the form of an opening, basically something that should look like a door. The Tzuras HaPesach, the vision, the form of a door. So, and then the Gemara defines the Tzuras HaPesach as Kanamikan, V'Kanamikan, V'Korel Gabayim. We have two uprights, and then something on top of it, that's what a door looks like. So our Erevin that allow us to carry are made up of Tzuras HaPesach, at least our contemporary Erevin, without getting into too much about the details of Erevin, although some of it's going to be important here. Just to say very quickly, the Erevin that we have in our communities are generally for purposes of drabanans, that we work off the assumption that this Rashi, the first Rashi in Erevin explains this in detail if you want to take a look, that we work off the assumption that carrying in most of our areas is Asa Midrabanan, not Min HaTorah. That we don't have an actual Rishus Sarab and Daraisa that creates a prohibition of carrying. So since it's a prohibition Midrabanan, we satisfy ourselves with a lower level of Erev. That if carrying was mamash nesur daraisa, you'd require a much stronger kind of eruv, what's known as dlossos. You need actual doors. Now that's a very important detail that's often gets lost, because when we build eruvin in communities, with the exception of certain rare cases, for example, in Midtown Manhattan, there is an eruv that is based on the more involved kind of concept. But in general, when we build Erevin, we work off the assumption that carrying is an Issa Drabanan. And that's why the kind of Erevin that we build are satisfactory. for that. So that often gets very lost in contemporary discourse, because, you know, Erevin are always controversial, and there are always people yelling about it and the whole story. And it's whether they're yelling because they don't hold from the Erevin, or they're yelling because they don't hold from the Jews, or they're yelling from whatever the whole discussion is. That's important to know. It's not about that the Torah wants us not to carry, and this Erev allows us to carry. Rashi explains the beginning of Erevin that we're dealing with situations where carrying is already Drabbanan. And Chazal did both at the same time. They said that you can't carry in these areas unless you build an Erev. Hi.
When we discuss in these cases, is this like a Bizman Hazeh type of thing, or in general?
Yeah, well, it's a function of Bizman Hazeh. It's a big, big machlokas about what constitutes the Rosh Hashanah and the Reis. I'm trying to say this as briefly as possible,
because
it's only a very tangential point, and obviously it's a huge, huge discussion. But part of why Erevin, from the halachic perspective, not from the non-Jewish city council perspective, but from the halachic perspective, part of why Erevin can be very controversial is the first step of that statement. Is carrying in any given area a Dereis or a Drabanan? Because if it's Daraisa, then what we use for Erevin would not suffice. But we work off the assumption that it's not a Daraisa, and that the standard for Shusarab and Daraisa is beyond what our areas actually constitute. So because of that, the Erevin that we use are what's called the Tzura Sapasa, that we're creating these pictures of walls, of doorways, because a wall includes a doorway, so a doorway is symbolic of a wall too. So you can have doorways strewn around the city, strewn around the town, whatever it is, and that's our Erev on a level midrabanan. So does that have a place in sukkah? Is that something that is necessary as part of a sukkah? Is that something that isn't necessary but helps? Is it something that's somewhere in between? And so we see on this Gemara and Dav Zion that there's essentially three opinions as far as this third wall tefach idea, where Tzuras HaPesach fits in. And ultimately the Gemara has three opinions. Do we say that we want this to be a Tzuras HaPesach? That's basically the idea. Or is it that you can have it or a Tzuras HaPesach, a Tefach or a Tzuras HaPesach? Right, the three positions here on Zion and Aleph. Amar Rav of Eini Teres Elo B'Tzuras HaPesach, that this Tefach has to be constructed as a Tzuras HaPesach. Or Ikedamri Amar Rav of Eini Teres Nami B'Tzuras HaPesach, that's basically an option. You could either have the Tefach wall or have a Tzuras HaPesach. Or Ikedamri Amar Rav of Tzricha Nami Tzuras HaPesach, but you have to have both. So three different options as far as how to understand the role of a Tzuras HaPesach in this third wall sukkah. Is it what we're talking about to begin with? Is it another option? Or is it also required at the same time? And it's a machlokas rishonim how to paskin on this issue. And we'll talk more about that. But so far the basics we're okay with. So a couple questions need to be clarified, and basically we'll be able to establish the question. Yes, sir.
Question: is it so straightforward that we should understand the Erevin?
Not at all. Yeah, so we'll talk about that. Yeah, not at all. So we want to try to figure that out. That's the big thing. What exactly is the relationship of walls for a sukkah and walls for an Erev? That's going to be one of the major things we need to figure out, and it's part of what we'll talk about today and a little bit more tomorrow. So first of all, one question we need to figure out is, how did a wall become a tefach? Right, it does not seem, if you read the Mishnah by itself, it would probably never occur to you that a wall could be a tefach. Right, we're all familiar with halachic definitions and minimums and maximums, but what in the world does a tefach have to do with a wall? That's a question by itself. Now, so one question we need to understand is this what the Gemara and the Vav is telling us, that a tefach is a wall? If so, that itself provokes a couple questions. What kind of questions could you ask about that? Yes, sir. Sam.
There's a question on the mission.
Okay, because why did the mission tell us that?
Right.
Okay, but what else? What else is a little bit...
You ask yourself the whole point of it's supposed to be Tira.
Okay, so what is livable in a house that has walls made out of tefachs? Right? So that's one fundamental question, right? So both your questions are important questions. Is the Mishnah saying that? And if so, why not be clear about it? Is a tefach in any kind of world plausibly a wall? And if it is, you could ask another question.
Should I need anything additional?
Okay, why would I need anything additional? That's this discussion on Dav Zayin. And another possible question. But also, what else could you ask? If
first
a tefach...
Sorry? But the first two walls.
Ah, so what's your question about the first two walls?
Why are the first two walls even a
tefach? Ah, right, that's an important detail, which is probably relevant. Right, if a tefach is a wall, then let me have three tefach walls. And that's going to make life a lot easier and cheaper. And so the idea that the tefach is a wall, but only when it's the third wall, that's probably relevant. Right? That's probably an important detail. So that's going to leave us some kind of parameters to try to figure out what's going on. It is a wall, but only when there are two other walls. What does that mean? And to see that also the Gemara in Daf Zayin thinks it's important to know how do the other two walls configure. Are they perpendicular or are they parallel? Why is that important? What exactly is the relevance of that? So that's another thing we need to figure out. So now let's put another set of questions on the table. There is a concept as we go on to learn Masechta Sukkah, so certainly the first parak of Sukkah, so we will very quickly be exposed to the idea that there's a big role for Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, right? That we have a tradition that there are certain leniencies, essentially, that constitute walls where we wouldn't have thought that that's really a wall. Right, that there's a tradition of certain chidushim that things work to create a sukkah wall that we only know because of the tradition. And essentially what that seems to mean is that what is missing in the wall gets filled in. That's generally the theme of those Halach L'Moshe Mesinai's. Right, that we have gaps in the area of the sukkah, and those gaps are considered as if they're not gaps. They're considered as if they're there. So is this in that category? Is that what we're talking about? Yeah. So is a tefach wall a chiddush of Halach L'Moshe Mesinai? That basically, just like we have certain things like labud, which we'll get to if something is close enough to something else, we consider that space to be filled in. So that's Halach L'Moshe Mesinai, that we see that gap is connected. Is that what the tefach wall is about? You follow the question? Like, is this a wall magically because of that? So let's look, for example, the Gemara in Vav Amud Beis. That the Gemara in Vav Amud Beis tells us about the Hilchasa, about the Halach L'Moshe Mesinai. And it says, Ki Asoi Hilchasa, this is about a third of the way down the page, right before the two dots. And the first words of the line are Ma Yikla Meimar. So it says the Gemara, Ki Asoi Hilchasa, Lagud, V'Lavud, V'Dolphin Akuma. So these concepts we won't spend a lot of time explaining now because we'll get into them in much greater detail. But essentially it seems like it's listing three things. Three things which are considered to be included in this tradition. And basically they have to do with gaps. So is tefach there? it's not mentioned in the list. Right? So is a teflach also a part of this? Is that what the Gemara is telling us? It's not obviously the case. You would think that teflach is its own din. Right? And if we have to be told about good and about labud as two separate things, so then presumably the teflach is not included, one would think. Now, if you look in the Rashash in Vav and Midbeis, so the Rashash says differently. The Rashash says that this Gemara is also coming to include good. Is also going to include Tefach. Says the Rashash, Rivakashli Madua Loksaninami had to look on Linian Dofen Gimel, the third wall, to Sagi Betefach. So says the Rashash, Venira Dezak Klal Gam Kain Begud. That the Gemara is making a good point. That it includes also the Tefach wall. But the literal reading of the Gemara and the way Rashi reads it, if you take a closer look, it doesn't sound like it's really coming to include that. So that's one question we need to figure out. Is this wall basically a wall because there's some chiddush that tells us we see it as if it's much bigger? Or, no, that's true for other things. That's true for good asik, good achis. That's true for Lovud, Dofen Akuma. But the Tefach wall is a Tefach, is a wall. It's its own din. And if so, again, we need to figure out then why should that be true? Hi.
What was the record that the first two walls have to be 7,000?
That the first two walls? So that's actually an interesting question. So that the Mishnah talks about at the end of the second parak. And that's an interesting discussion. If you want, maybe we'll get into that a little bit more tomorrow. But some of the Svarim take up that question, that isn't that something that should be in the first Mishnah? And it's interesting that that's not discussed there. So why is that true? That maybe we'll talk about it a little bit tomorrow. Why is that considered like apparently a completely separate concept, and that it only comes up in the Mishnah much later? And so that we'll talk about the nature of that drasha, because it's interesting. It seems to be a distinct point. Hi. Yeah, so the idea that he subsumes it in one of these three, it probably doesn't matter which one, but the fact that he puts it in the Halacha Moshe Misinai category. And so what that is, would indicate probably is that, listen, a tafach is not a wall. But just like the Halacha Moshe Misinai's have taught us that space can be filled in even if it's not physically there, so the tafach also is expanding much more than it actually physically is. So maybe that's what's going on. But from some of the Rishonim, it doesn't seem like that's the case. It seems like it's not included in that. Rav Shechter sometimes relates, you can see this and discussed in one of his upcoming Sfarim, that it's a whole interesting question about the nature of Halacha Moshe Misinai here, that Rav Salveitchik commented that there was a professor at JTS who said that in the times of the Gemara, so they didn't have enough wood. There was a shortage of wood. So the rabbis made this leniency that you don't have to use as much wood to make a sukkah. He said that Rav Soloveitchik didn't feel that statement was necessarily so objectionable, except it doesn't address the right part of the sentence. That it could be that l'maisa we rely on the Halacha Moshe Misinai because of a shortage of wood. But that's not how it works. It works because it's independently true. Why did Chazal look for that? Why did they teach us about this Halacha Moshe Misinai and tell us to utilize it? Maybe in Achanami, maybe that was because of the shortage of wood. He thought it was comparable to saying, how did the Americans build an atom bomb in World War II? So you could say, well, the Germans were also going to build a bomb, so therefore they had to do it. But that doesn't explain how it works. That explains why they felt they had to put all their energies into making it happen. We still have to explain the physics. says it's possible to say that the need to rely on the halachah Moshe Sinai's were based on a wood shortage, but still has its own independent concept as to how it functions. So, okay, so we have in Besorah that this is considered to be effective. So one question we need to know is that also what's happening with the Tafach? And practically speaking, what does that mean? It's not just about the question of the source. It means, is the Tafach significant only because we see it as being much more? Or, no, it's a different kind of concept. The Tafach is enough. The Tafach is the wall. And there's an interesting Havamir in the Rav Yah, which I can give you tomorrow to take a look at. That the Rav Yah thought that there was a Havamina, not Maskana, but that maybe if you have a third wall that's only a Tefach wide, you can only eat opposed to that Tefach, but not on the other sides of it. So, again, that's a Havamina, it's not the actual din. But it sounds like he's working off the assumption that that's the whole wall. There's no magic space that's filled in on either side of it, but that the tefach is the wall. It just happens to be that a tefach wall is enough. So these are a few questions we need to figure out. Now, some other questions was put on the table. It relates to Avi's question, which is a very important question. What exactly is the relationship between Shabbos and Shabbos meaning Erevin and Sukkah as far as walls are concerned? So in some ways they seem to be similar, and in some ways they seem to be distinct from each other. How would they be similar and how would they be distinct? Anybody want to comment? Are there any differences that you're aware of between them?
Well,
yes?
The difference particularly being that one has to be here, whereas the other one you're trying to distinguish between the shuvos.
Okay, so that's interesting. You are already jumping to trying to explain the differences, which might be the case. All right, but let's first try to figure out the practical differences. Now, you're suggesting that maybe there's a different function, right? That even though they both have walls in common, doesn't mean the wall's doing the same thing. One is there to define territory, and one is there not because of territory, but because the Torah needs us to have a residence, and the residence is defined by being enclosed by walls. Now, if that's the case, by the way, it would be interesting to consider, and it may indeed apply. So our discussion about Diras Aroi and Diras Keva, that if you say that a Dira is defined by walls, is a Diras Aroi defined differently than a Diras Keva as far as walls? Just a question to keep in mind. Hi.
There's practical differences in terms of what the requirements are.
Yeah.
Sukkah needs a certain amount of walls or a certain amount of specification. An area just an enclosed space.
Okay, well, what does that practically mean?
There's
and I'll just to tip you off, there's some
territory.
Right, so the what rules, what differences do we find? So there are some kulas in both directions. Okay, just to put that out there on the table. In some ways, Shabbos is more makel. That we have the concept of good asik, that the walls can be considered to be rising up, even if there's no actual wall. So, for example, this is also a big controversy, so it's a big question. So a lot written about this, about whether you alluded to before the question of Manhattan and Erevin. So one question is Manhattan considered to actually meet the qualification for Shos HaRavim, and therefore maybe we need a higher standard of Erev in Manhattan than in your average other town? Sorry?
Why wouldn't it meet that?
Why would it not be? Yeah, the question is whether the structure, again, I'm trying to limit how much I'll say about Erevin, but the question is, like the Chazon Ish maintained, that maybe the structure of the buildings creates enough of a internal wall that you need to have streets that are open in a certain way and that are uninterrupted in a certain way and a certain amount of people crossing the streets. So it's a big machlokas rishonim, what exactly are the standards, but theoretically even Manhattan might fall below the standards. But there's another view that goes the other direction. It says that actually Manhattan is an Erev because it's an island. So if it's an island, so then maybe we should say that the walls don't have to go up, they can also go down. And then we can consider them as rising up.
So we're all on a pedestal, kind of?
Sorry, right, essentially we're all on a pedestal. So basically you have a wall around the island, it goes down, but we can consider it halachically as if it goes up, and there we're all surrounded by a wall. Now, there's many, many questions as to whether that's actually true in the case of Manhattan. As you can imagine, there was quite a lot written about it. So among the details, how big of a space could this work for? If you can't see from one end to the other, how much did that play a role? It's an extensive discussion. Rav Kasher, who you might recognize that name from the Torah Shlema, Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher, who was the editor of the Torah Shlema, so he wrote extensively about this, about the question of a natural area of Manhattan, whether or not that works. But we know that that kind of system doesn't work for a sukkah. So the Gemara says that let's say you have a sukkah that's too high, it's more than 20 amos, and inside the sukkah you build a little pillar. And the pillar itself is the right dimensions for a sukkah, but you're basically sitting on top of this pillar. So you want to say you have a sukkah inside, but the walls are of the pillar, and the walls only go down. So that does not work for a sukkah. And Rashi has a phrase here, which is probably very important, that bo'inan mechitzos nikoros. That not only do we need walls that are visible. So that becomes a big difference between sukkah and Shabbos. That not only do you have to have walls in both cases, but in the case of sukkah, it has to be a perceptible wall. And related also, when it comes to Tzuras HaPesach, so we know that Tzuras HaPesach plays a role for Shabbos for Erevin. But when it comes to sukkah, we see it's a machlokus with some Rishonim maintaining that Tzuras HaPesach does not help a sukkah at all. So Tzuras HaPesach counts for a wall for Shabbos and possibly not for sukkah. So those are a couple of differences where a sukkah is more machmer. And yet, there are some ways in which Shabbos is more machmer. So what ways are that? Well, we have this idea of the tefach, right? That's a pretty cool kula. And also, when it comes to Shabbos, so normally we have a rule that we have to have more covered up space than exposed space. What exactly is considered covered up? So that involves a lot of details. But that when it comes to Shabbos, we need to have Ome Merubah Laparetz. It needs to be that which is standing is more than that which is exposed. And yet, when it comes to sukkah, so we don't have that requirement. We don't require that it be omed merubah laparetz. Right, this is a line, if you see the bottom is ayin amud aleph. I can give you these to look at a little bit more tomorrow. I didn't want to overwhelm you today. But tomorrow is a longer Seder, so you could see a little bit more. But this Gemara on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph on the bottom of the page, so the Gemara says, V'yaseira Shabbos al Sukkah, Sha Shabbos ein ani teres ela ba'omen merubah laparetz. Mashen came b'sukkah. So when it comes to Shabbos, you need to have more coverage than exposure, and that's not true by sukkah. So there are some differences. There are some kulas and there are some chumras in both directions. And yet, ultimately, they are related. Because the Gemara here, right before that line, the Gemara has a very fascinating concept, which we'll also talk about a little bit more tomorrow. So the Gemara says, after talking about this standard of Shtayin Kilchasan, the Gemara says, "Amar Rav v'chein l'Shabbos." And then this becomes true for Shabbos also. That during the week of Sukkot, this becomes true on Shabbos as well. Because Migo Davidofen, a fascinating concept, I'll explain a little bit more tomorrow, that Migo Davidofen Linin Sukkah, Davidofen Linin Shabbos. That once it establishes its identity through Hilchos Sukkos, it gets that identity through Hilchos, for the purposes of Hilchos Shabbos as well. Now, that concept, as fascinating as it is, presumably needs there to be some kind of a common cause. Right? There needs to be some kind of a shared purpose between Sukkah and Shabbos for that statement to make any sense. So on the one hand, there's differences. On the other hand, there's enough of a similarity that we can transfer principles from one to the next. So these are all things we're going to have to try to figure out. So I'll just recap, and hopefully this sets the stage for tomorrow. Again, tomorrow I'll give you a few more sources so you can see these things inside. And then we'll try to see how we can put it all together, what exactly is going on here. So essentially, what are the elements we've laid out on the table? That a sukkah needs three walls, according to the Mishnah. But the Gemara says, well, three-ish, just two, and the third one can be a tefach. And the details are a little bit up in the air, whether it needs to be up in the air, whether it needs to be a tzuras ha-pesach also, whether together with a tzuras ha-pesach, or an option of a tzuras ha-pesach, and some machlokas are showing them how to paskin, but there is this third alternative kind of wall that works. So we tried to figure out, is it actually a wall? Is that what it is? Or is it just some kind of representation that has the same impact? Should this be included in the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai's that show up throughout Sukkah? And one of the ramifications of that being that in the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai's, we see all that space is filled in. And when it comes to the tefach, is that what's happening? We envision it as more than a tefach. Or no, the tefach is the wall. And in fact, it was that havamin in the Rav Yah that you have to sit next to that tefach in order for it to work. So that seems to be an open question. And then we looked at the, again, no pun intended, and then we looked at the ways in which it was similar to Shabbos and ways in which it was different from Shabbos. That, on the one hand, seems like a similar idea, walls, all about the walls. And no discussion of the pace of the wall, but walls is our focus. And there are similarities and there are differences. That when it comes to Erevin, so we have a concept that a wall below could be considered a wall above, but it doesn't work for Sukkah because, as Rashi tells us, we need mechitzas nikaros, probably an important concept. That the Tzuras HaPesach idea may be special to Shabbos and not really relevant to Sukkah. And on the other hand, kulas for a sukkah, in that the tefach wall is a concept, and omer ruba laparetz works is a need for Shabbos, but is not a need for sukkah. So there's those differences. But in the same breath, the Gemara says that there could be a transference of qualities from one to the next, and once it gets its status in sukkah, it has that status in Shabbos also. So on the one hand, it's different. On the other hand, it's the same enough that we can borrow from each other. So why is all of that the case? And what exactly is the purpose of these walls? And what are we accomplishing in both cases? God willing, tomorrow all of that will come together. All right, I wish you all a wonderful day. And I will see you soon. All right, just head to this back end. All right.